A warning. This podcast contains some f***ing bad language.
Just like the seamstress who didn't quite stitch in Thingy's eye properly before a live recording of the Son of a Gun show.
He's the son of a gun.
Two wheels, a seat, some handlebars.
True stories. Your stories. Your fuck-ups. Jim Cawthorne presents The Fuck-Up Files.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on the time that you're listening into this podcast right now. Here we are, The Fuck-Up Files. The podcast to help you frown after feeling down. Hang on, I've written that wrong. Well, that's a... You know what? What are we, episode 9 of this, producer Ryan?
Correct.
You should know what the podcast is about by now. Unless you're starting with episode 9, then stop, go back and start again, okay? This is about fuck-ups, essentially, isn't it?
It is. So we discuss your fuck-ups.
Yes.
You listening, you can send in one. We've got one more episode left. Jim, through to 3520. Send a story about how you've blown out. And you can also listen back to some of the other episodes as well. Some great ones there. Justine Smith was great last week. Ants was good.
Oh, yes, Ants was very good. Timmy Davis,
yeah.
I mean, I don't want to put tough competition on our next guest.
Yeah.
But you've really got to step up to the ballpark here. Guess who it is, of course? Jim Bainbridge, ladies and gentlemen. Here
Hello.
She is.
What Hello. A way to start the fuck-up files by fucking up the intro.
That's just what we do.
Wouldn't have expected anything other than
well,
that.
Well, with the title, yep. The Fuck-Up Files, that's what you're going to get, Jen.
Hey, no, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Well,
I have been listening to the podcast and giggling away to the podcast.
So
it's good to
now
be part of the podcast.
And do you know what? You're an easy guest to get because you work in the same building with us. So we just
well, that's
you.
True. It wasn't difficult.
No,
you just went, hey, do you want to do the podcast? See, can I drink wine while I do it? And you said yes. So
of course you can.
Yeah,
you go for gold.
Cheers.
What else you got there?
Got champagne and a beer.
What's that? Is that the new Steinlager one, is it?
This is the Steinlager Pure. No, Pure Ultra. I haven't tried it
what
yet.
What is that? What's different about that? I know that this isn't a paid podcast,
pure.
By the way, for our Steinlager.
It's low carb.
I'm more intrigued. Oh, low carb beer is bullshit. That's like cigarettes when they say, no, this is more healthier for you, these ciggies.
It's like the 9% wine that they try and sell me at the supermarket that never goes.
Because what's wine normally? 16, 15?
No, it's around 11.5 to 12%, just off the top of my head.
Yeah, just roughly.
But yeah, it's around 12%.
Oh, what? So they've only just gone down like 2 or 3%.
Yeah.
That seems like a complete waste of time.
Wine.
Yeah.
Light wine.
That's not light.
It's disgusting. To it. So it tastes like wheeze.
Get it? Oh, yeah. How do you know what that tastes like?
Well, that's true.
Todd Carney has a book out, actually. Yeah. The famous bubbler.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. I should have asked him, actually.
You guys had him on the Morning Rumble the other day.
He was on there. Talks very openly about it.
Did he?
There's guys playing in the NRL at the moment that have raped women, beaten up people in public, done horrific things, but Todd Carney can no longer play in the NRL because he peed in his own mouth.
Well, these guys are still playing.
Yeah.
Thing is, that's an Ayurvedic therapy. People actually swear by drinking their own urine, so maybe that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Did anyone check in with him about that, or?
I don't know if you've seen the
My
photo.
Brother used to do that, actually.
Really?
What yeah, my brother used to do. He used to drink his wheeze because he was, like dead set thought that it was helping his health.
In what way? Was it like a skin thing or was it...
Supposedly, I don't know. Look, I'm not an expert on it, but something to do with drawing the toxins out or something like that. I'm
really
not sure. But a lot of people do it. I can't remember exactly what it's
called. See, I could kind of see that because wheeze is acidic, would you say?
It's ammonia, basically.
Should we try it?
No.
Next time I've got the
no,
flu,
thanks.
I'll drink someone's piss and then we'll see how we recover.
Yuck.
We'll do that another day.
You know, at a radio station I used to work at, you know how there's often alcohol at radio stations like there is right now?
Yes.
And there was a bottle of tequila at the radio station. Mm. And a woman who's actually quite famous on the television now, who I won't name, weed in the tequila bottle.
Oh, my God.
And, well, tipped the tequila out first.
Yeah.
And
she's
gave,
an animal.
Gave it to... Exactly. She's not... She saved the tequila. Like, come on, let's not waste it. And I gave it to the drive host at the time of the radio station I was working for, and he drank it.
Oh!
Because he thought it was tequila.
Oh, my God. And do you know what he would have done? He would have gone, oh, God, there's some good tequila.
It was so good.
Because
he never forgave her.
Would you notice the difference? Not that I've drank wheeze before, but would you notice, do you think?
Yep. Absolutely notice.
Oh, did he notice?
Oh, yeah. He was absolutely fucking furious with it.
Oh, he would. Who was it?
Not telling you.
Judy Bailey.
Mm-mm.
Was she even on?
Close.
Imagine Judy Bailey. Okay, anyway. Hey, look. We're getting off track talking about drinking wheeze right now. Let's get back on track. And I'm going to share for you a story that takes place in the year 2013 on Wednesday the 19th of June.
How on earth do you have, like, the details that specific?
Because it was... my 27th birthday was 2 days before this.
Okay.
And in 3 days' time... This was on the Wednesday, 3 days. So the Saturday night was my big party at home to celebrate at my flat.
Okay.
Now, before I dive into the story... This is actually the worst thing I've ever done to Daniela.
Oh, And okay. Daniela, your wife?
Yes, my wife, yeah. And that still haunts me today. I felt awful, very awful about this situation.
Okay.
So let's showcase it right now on the podcast. So it was my birthday party, and I thought, let's do a theme. Because I love theme parties. But when you do theme parties, you realise that people, they either get into it or they don't get into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought, let's find somewhere to meet them halfway and let's do a crazy hat party. Because that's just kind of, it's easy to do, isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
And actually, just before, just a bit of a backstory. During the day, Danielle had spent all afternoon making this cake for me, right?
Oh, she's lovely woman.
Oh, she's beautiful.
How did you get her?
I don't know. So it was chocolate cake, you know the ones with the Twix around the side?
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Pebbles on top. Probably a cake, now I think about that, it's probably more suited for a child, actually. But hey, fuck it, why not?
I couldn't think of anything more perfect.
Spot on.
Bang on.
A lot of love and time and energy went into this cake.
Okay.
Now, the night arrived, and people, you know, rocked up in just an amazing array of hats. There was the beer drinking, the hard hat, beers on the
classic.
Side. And, yeah, the classic. Somebody had a fancy top hat. There was one that, there was like a shark. This is the best hat. It was one like a shark. It was eating the guy's head. So you put it on, mm-hmm. It was like just the mouth would be, you know, and the shark would be hanging off his head. There's some very cultural hats as well. Somebody had an Australian hat with the corks.
So people have really tried. They've really got around your hat party.
They have. Well, yes and no. Somebody rocked up just wearing a beanie.
It's still a hat.
Well, exactly.
So then,
you know what I mean? Like, lazy, you're still partaking. Somebody wore a hat that was here. So wig. And my
sounds like a great party. Really,
my hat was like a birthday cake hat. Yeah. So we're all pissing up, mixing and mingling. We play pass a parcel.
God,
what? This really is a kids' party, is it, Ryan?
What age? 27.
Bang on.
27. To be honest, I don't know if you ever have a party and you're on the piss. If you play little kids' games when you're on the piss, it's actually a lot of fun.
Are they? Okay.
I'm taking
your word for it, mate.
Honestly, I know it sounds like stupid, but just try and play. What's that one with the Indian chairs or something like that? Or candlesticks.
Indian chairs?
Well, is that the one where you run around in circles and you take a chair away?
Yes, no, I know the one. It's certainly not Indian chairs.
I thought it was.
I'm just trying to think what it's called.
Oh, God. Ring a Ring a Rosie? Or like,
because no,
music plays.
Musical chairs.
Musical chairs.
Why on earth would you go Indian?
I don't know.
Is that because they had land taken off them in the States? That we're taking away chairs?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know why I called it Indian chairs. Musical chairs. Anyway.
You played musical chairs.
No, we didn't. We played parcel.
Okay.
And the parcel was my hat. And weirdly enough, it didn't actually even land on me. It was one of those awkward moments. Anyway.
That sounds so shit.
No, but it gets better.
I really hope it does.
Somebody did rock up with a gift for me. Now, I'm going to say, if this is a gift, I think a lot of you would be very happy to receive this gift, right?
Yeah.
And I was over the moon. And this is before I knew that this would be the main instigator of my night ending in disaster.
I think I know what this is.
It was
Carry
a
on.
Big paper bag.
Mm-hmm.
And inside the bag was a massive amount of magic mushrooms.
This is so good.
A whole bag full. So right. I did what any other person who would do, you know, who's already pretty much smashed a shite load of piss, and because it's their birthday, they feel they can do whatever they want. I had a massive handful of mushrooms.
Oh, no.
Hump, like massive handful, and walked on, carried on. Well, 45 minutes later, we fast forward. And more people had rocked up by then. There was more crazy hats. I was taking shots. People, you know, rock up and they're like, hey, Jim, I've got you know, those wee pre-made shots that they have?
Yeah.
Have one of those. Yes, oh, yeah. Blop, blop, blop. And things are just really, before I know it, things are really starting to kick in. I would look at someone and they had six eyes.
Yeah.
You know, I'd look at the wall and there's kaleidoscopes happening and the walls were going up and down and outwards and, oh, it was just full on. And people, the more pissed they got, the more scary they got. And what made them even more scarier? Their fucking hats.
Of course they did.
The hats. Especially the sharky
the
one.
Part of them.
Especially the sharky one.
Yeah, the shark would be tough because were you trying to save him every time you saw him? You're like, well, no shark.
No, it wasn't. I just had to stay away. And then he'd keep coming in like, Joe, mate, bloody blah.
Oh, no.
I was like, this fucking shark, I'm sure it's looking at me. Can I say as well, this was only 7:40 p.m.
Oh, right, okay.
The cake came out, people were singing happy birthday. They were actually amazed. Oh, look at this cake, this looks awesome. I was semi-freaking out because of all the attention.
Yeah.
But I did manage to blow my candles out and also cut up some slices of cake.
That would have been exhausting.
It was exhausting. Then one of my good friends decided it'd be funny to grab one of the slices and just mush it in my face.
Oh, no.
A little wee joke. I mean, it was completely, it was fine. But in my fucked up state of mind, I was threatened. So I retaliated by grabbing the whole cake.
Oh, Jim.
And just smashing it in his face.
How did this woman ever marry him, eh?
Before we knew it, me and this bloke are rolling around on the ground. And this is actually, in this moment, I was feeling a lot more relaxed about things because I was laughing my ass off. And Kate, before I stood up and just looked at horrified faces on everybody around me.
Oh, no.
And then it was the most terrifying thing of my life, especially as I turned around and looked at Daniela, who was just beyond upset. Actually, do you know what? I freaked out and I left my own party.
Did you?
I ran away.
Isn't that your house?
Did you take the head off first? Or
no, I probably didn't. I went down to the park and there's a bush and I just sort of sat there and just sort of freaked out. Somebody had to come down and get me and reassure me because I was like, I can't go back. Daniela, I can't. What have I done? You know, it was horrifying. It got to the point where I'd probably made more of a meal out of it. And Daniela was just like, hurry up, get in the car. Well, I'm taking you back to mine because I didn't want to go back to the party because I just thought I'd ruined everything.
Yeah.
The next day, Daniela didn't talk to me for some time, which did not help with things. I had a massive home to clean up. There's cake everywhere. And, you know, as the night continued on to about 3, 4 in the morning, the house got even more fucked up. And that was the rule, was if I'm going to put the party on, I've got to clean up the next day.
Oh, dear.
So I was in a rock and a hard place. Do I sit there and help console Daniela, or do I go back and clean the flat? And I stayed and consoled Daniela. He wouldn't talk to me. And then I went home the next day. I went home the day after that to the flat to very angry flatmates. And from now on, whenever it's my birthday, we're not allowed a cake.
I was going to say, Jim, because the disappointing part of this story for me is that I was at your 30th and it was nothing like this.
No.
I really missed out, clearly.
Yes, yeah, well, I sort of just tone it down.
How far along your guys' relationship were you, if that was your 27th?
2013. We've been dating for 3 years.
God, she's an impressive woman.
You must be good at grovelling. You must be.
Yeah.
You actually must be.
Oh, mate, it's just, I'm just charming in the bedroom.
I was going to say, you're a love god.
Absolutely love god.
That's just so hard to imagine. It's like imagining your parents having sex.
Oh, don't imagine me having sex.
It's just, I can't even handle it.
I'm already tired thinking about it.
And huffing and puffing on,
I need my inhaler. Okay, this podcast, Jen, I don't know if you've realised, it's an interactive one.
Yes, I do realise that.
The first ever interactive podcast.
Great.
That could be a complete lie. I say it in every episode, but I don't know if that's the truth. I believe we've got Dave on the line there. You've managed to pull your big rig over there, Dave.
Yeah, mate. How's it going?
Good. Is this a massive blowout? Before we dive into this, Dave, is this a massive blowout that still haunts you?
It definitely haunts me. Workmates won't let me live it down. And the missus, okay. She constantly reminds me.
Okay, God, I like this already. So what happened?
Well, I was at a job site and was probably left it a little bit too late to do the old number twos.
Okay.
And went to the site manager and asked if they had a toilet. And he said, no, we don't have one that's working at the moment, but you can scoot down to the river and there's a bush down there you can go in. I thought, okay.
Hang on, did the site manager know that you needed to do number twos, or was he just thinking you're doing number ones?
Yeah, no, he knew I needed to do number twos.
Oh, okay, right.
He did ask me that question. I just held up two fingers and was like, yeah, man, two. It's got to be number two. So I waddled off across the work site and started to skid down a bank towards the river. And as I was sliding down, a rock caught my boot and I went flying forward, probably about a good metre and a half, and landed clear on my side, busted my hand up and my ankle, and in the process from the impact, I full-on crap myself.
Oh, no!
So when you say you're pain, are you talking about like you've actually fractured bones here?
Tore muscle and torn ligaments and all that kind of stuff, but no broken bones.
Oh, that's
stuff,
right, but still a
broken dignity.
Yeah.
So what did you do next, Dave?
Yeah, how do you get out of this?
Well, I didn't even have my pants down at this point because I was still trying to get to the destination. So I kind of crawled into the bush and dropped me back lying down and try and clean up the mess as best as I could.
Was what
I
had. So awful.
And then chucked the pants back on, walked back up, limped back up the bank and jumped in my work truck and drove to hospital.
So hang on, so you've literally, you've wiped your the back of your thighs, your knees, your bum cheeks with leaves and bushes, I'm assuming.
You're really taking yourself there.
Assuming, yeah. No, I had a roll of toilet paper with me.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank
you're not
God.
A complete animal.
Oh, God. Okay,
give him some credit, Jim.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, yeah, Jesus Christ. So, so basically you're wearing your shitty pants in the car to...
Yeah, a whole 45-minute drive.
What did you say to them when you walked into emergency? I've broken my hand and I've shit my pants. Please deal to me immediately.
Yeah, something like that.
Because usually there's a wait. Well, did you didn't have to wait when you got there, did you?
You normally do.
3 hours.
What a nightmare. And your shitty pants.
Well, they had like a baby changing room there, so they had like a little wipe dispenser, so that kind of helped a little bit.
Oh, a little bit. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So were you sitting in the middle of a busy hospital waiting room?
It was actually really quiet.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, the nurse was an absolute hysterics over this.
I bet she was.
And to make it worse, she was drop-dead gorgeous as well. So it just was always the case. Not a good look.
Oh, no.
And so what, did you go back to work eventually? Were you off work? What happened there?
So the next day I went to the doctor's. Oh, I had a ACC form of incident because it happened at work.
Yeah.
I ended up getting 2 weeks off from it.
Oh, well, that's something.
Just let the hand kind of heal up a little bit.
To be honest, though, when you're really, like, embarrassed about it, you know, when you go through a situation like that where you're just highly embarrassed and then taking time away from your work, it makes it even worse because it just builds up anxiety for those 2 weeks before you're going to go back, doesn't it?
Yeah, good thing I didn't have to go back to that job site.
Oh, okay, well, that's all right then.
What'd you put on your ACC form?
Oh, yes.
Exactly what I just told you.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
So what, you told the operator...
Yeah, I was brutally honest. The operator was this, she was from Glasgow. You can just imagine the kind of Glasgow accent she had, real thick accent. And she was an absolute hysteric. It was like watching that lady read the Wonky Donkey.
Oh, fuck, that's good.
Oh, that's so good, Dave.
All right, Dave, that is, that's going to be, I reckon, one of the best callers we can fuck up your
head,
right?
Yeah, she is.
Good on you, mate.
Bainbridge.
Yeah.
Your turn to tell us a story.
So anyone that knows me, and if you don't, like, I come from a real, like, sketchy family, right? And and so back in, when would it have been? About 2010, I had a family member who got done for fraud.
Oh.
And the Crown's case against that person was that they claimed that they had CCTV camera footage of that person coming and going from hotels, but they weren't actually checked into the hotel. And that these several hotels around the place, I'm going to be so vague, had been reporting, you know, a really high number of thefts. And so this person in my family got arrested for that because they looked like the person in the CCTV camera footage.
Oh.
And so they were being held at Mount Eden Prison.
Jesus.
And so what were they thieving, though? Sorry,
Was thieving just items from people's hotel rooms.
Oh.
Yeah, and the Crown alleged that the person was getting into the hotel rooms with a credit card, somehow managing to swipe or jump the system. So that was what the case was.
Yeah.
And so the person was being held at Mount Eden Prison, and the person had never been in prison before, and so quite often what they'll do with someone like that is they'll put them in the special unit, which is kind of like, you know, people who've, like, left gangs or whatever. Like, it's just, you know, it's high dependency unit. They keep a really close eye on you. A lot of people have psychiatric conditions and stuff like that in there. And I don't find that part funny, but and so, you know, it takes quite a few weeks to be able to get visitation to see them and that sort of stuff, and so I finally was able to see them. And so back then, the special unit was being held in the very, very old block of Mount Eden Prison, which has been there since the beginning of early 1900s, I think. Don't quote me on the exact date, but it's been there a very, very long time. And so it's a very, very old building. And so you go to the main entrance, which is around the front, and they say, okay, so, you know, sign in sort of thing. And I say to them, you know, I'm here to see someone in the special unit. And they're like, oh, okay. Because people, I don't think, get...
Yeah, oh, that's sad.
Visits there very often.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's sad.
And so they tell me to go around the side. And he goes, so what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go around the side, you're going to have to cross the train track, and then you're going to knock on a door and wait. And so it was all very, like... What the fuck is this? Like, this is a prison.
Yeah.
You know, like, surely it's a bit more organised than this.
Yeah.
No. And so I teeter around in my high heels, you know, across the railway track, and I'm, you know, knocking on this very, very solid door that had just, you know, a little bit of a you know, glass window.
Did it have like one of those wee eye things where you pull away and they're like, who's there?
Just oh, so probably. You can see the eyes. I can't quite remember.
Password.
Let's just say there was one. Let's okay. just say there was one. But I waited there for ages, you know, really trying to, you know, and there was no phone, there was no buzzer, yeah. there was nothing. So finally I hear, you know, that real like, old fashioned like jangling of keys.
You really
expect. So this guy comes to the door. As we're walking through, he goes through another door and I just pull up behind him. He goes, no, don't! And I'm like, what? He goes, we can't open that door! And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, that door, the lock on it is so old, the key rarely works. And I was like, sorry, I was just, as a prison, I thought I had to close the door behind me. He's like, oh, there's no one around here. This is a secure, oh, don't worry. Okay, look, what I'll do is I'll take you and I'll put you in the visiting area. And we'll just deal with it later. I was like,
what?
Okay. So he takes me to this area and it's like the smallest space yeah. you would have ever been in as a human. Like it's horrible. And he locks you there and he goes, okay, I'm going to go and get you the prison that you're visiting. Takes your cell phone off you, by the way. This took 40 minutes. Me sitting in this cubicle just going, fuck, this is really not fun. I'm really claustrophobic. There's no one around. Because it's a special unit, no one's walking past. There's nobody else there. No one else is visiting anyone. Person finally comes. We have our visit. He goes, I'm going to go and take him away. And he goes, while you were doing your visit, we've been trying that door and it's not going to open. He's like, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to put the entire unit into lockdown. I was like, right. And he's like, how long is that going to take? And he's like, it's going to take about an hour. And I was like,
Jesus
what
Christ.
The fuck? Are you actually kidding me? And so he goes off and leaves me in this awful cubicle, which I've now been in for over an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally comes back, honestly, about an hour later. I was like, oh my God, like real full-on panic attack. And he just goes to me. He goes, so so I just want to run across what we're going to do here. You know, we're gonna walk through the main prison, right? And he goes, to your left and your right, there's going to be, you know, prison cells every couple of meters.
Oh,
he goes, don't look. And I just said, don't look at what? And he's like, just don't. And so we
I know exactly what
through the prison, and all you can hear is, I'm not going to do the sound effect. Ryan, you
it's
did
a,
it.
It's a golf clap.
You did it for me.
It's a golf clap.
And so that was the time I started a wank fest at Mountain Prison.
Oh my
What were they? That's an amazing picture you've painted. Right on, right there.
It was unbelievable.
So were they yelling at you?
Like, oh, everything.
Bars.
Really? Oh yeah.
Did you get a good? I mean,
I didn't look. I did as I was told, and I didn't look. But like the stuff.
But you
I could
definitely
hear,
see.
Oh, you could see actions going
elbows
on. All kinds of things
in the corner of your eye.
Because the prison, like the doors that they were in, I don't know what the rest of the prison's like, but they had like. Sort of like little glass panels, so yeah. you could see them. Yeah,
I hope your family member wasn't amongst the screw.
I certainly hope not. Thanks for that, Jim. I never once thought about that.
Oh,
ever.
I'm so sorry about that.
Jesus.
But anyway, that was a scary, dark place. That one, and saw something I never expected to see in more ways than one.
Men. Are they sharing cells as well?
Yes, they are.
Oh,
yeah. And that unit they were. It's not even. I don't even think that unit's active anymore. I think it's in the other prison now.
Well, I hope so because
honestly,
they can't even open the bloody door. How long's the walk?
Oh, it was quite a while. It was quite a long. I don't know, about 5 minutes to get right through. Because he ended
Christ.
Up eventually taking me out to the kitchen. And I'll tell you what, the appliances they have in the kitchen in a prison, way better than in your kitchen or
really?
My kitchen. Yeah,
way better than the ones here at work.
Fancy as well, yeah, not to give too much information, but the guy who ran the kitchen at Mount Eden Prison around that time, he had been a really well-known restaurateur in Auckland. And if anyone's listening right now, they know exactly who I mean.
Wow.
Yeah, and he got done for something that, well, we won't say. But he was running that kitchen, and so rumour was that he'd gotten the top appliances so he could make gourmet food in this while he was in prison. It's too funny.
Well, you know what? Now they're at the end of the podcast. What have you learned today, Jen?
I learned that men are mongrels when you lock them up.
Yes.
That's what I learned.
They're just a bunch of wankers, aren't they? Literally.
They No, it was good. Thanks for having me on the podcast, guys.
Is that all you've learned? That men are mongrels?
Well, I knew that probably before, but no, when they're locked up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And that theme probably applies to Jim's story as well.
Yeah,
men are mongrels.
Men are mongrels, that's right.
And Dave's story.
And also, don't assume that a door that you lock behind you isn't going to be able to be unlocked again.
That's true, you hear that.
Just always ask, especially when you're in a prison.
You just hear that clip and like...
The panic from the guy was just hilarious.
Oh
like,
my
this is
God.
Bizarre.
Hey, Jen Bamer, thank you very much. That's
yeah,
great,
thank you.
That's good.
The three big stories, illegal stories,
for
different reasons, but very enjoyable.
Hey, and that has been episode 9 of the Fuck Up Files.
Oh, by the way, he was not guilty.
He was not guilty?
He was not guilty.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So he was like,
add that.
So how long was he in there for?
He was on remand for about 8 weeks, and then he was on house arrest for about 8 weeks. And
oh, so he, just going back to your story, so they basically, they got the wrong guy.
Sure.
Okay, we won't dive into that further. That's fine. Thank you very much, Jen. That has been episode 9. I am Jim Cawthorne. Thank you very much, producer Ryan.
Thanks, Jimbo.
Thanks, guys. That was great.
Thank you. You can tune in, of course, to the Fuck Up Files podcast through Rover or us through Spotify and iTunes. We've got one more episode to go after this. All right, we'll see you then. Thank you very much.
See ya.
Tally-ho.